full week of the new year. And as is our custom, this week, Monday through Friday, will be a week of prayer and fasting. And it's very clear biblically. Jesus said, "This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting." Prayer is a no-brainer. It's how you interact with God. It's breathing in the Spirit. It's life in the Spirit. It's how you receive the Holy Ghost. It's how you stay alive in the Holy Ghost. And so prayer is something the church does always. We do it corporately and in the formal setting of the church service, if you could call what we do here formal. And we do it individually. We have our own prayer life. You need to have a prayer life at church, but you need to have a prayer life at home or wherever you are. You need to pray on the job. You need to pray at school. You need to pray at work. Somebody should say amen. Yeah, you need to have a prayer life where it's just breathing in and out all day long. Everywhere you are, there are things where you have a need of God or you want to stop and give God glory and praise and honor. And prayer is the place where you do that, where you remember and you make the intentions of the truth of God deeper and deeper in your spirit and in your psyche, where you say the things of God over and over again. Because I'm telling you, the mantra of the world is playing on a constant loop, and it's coming to you and in your head and in your cultural settings and on the job and at your school, and those ideas are bombarding you like advertisements for everything that's not like God. And you have to stand in the middle of that white noise, in the middle of that clutter, and you have to say, no, God is one, God is good, God does everything well. And prayer is a place where you refresh all of that. And so this week, I would ask you to rise above and beyond your normal, habitual level of prayer. And I'd like for you to take some time. You can come here to the church if you like. You can accelerate your prayer at home or in your time of prayer, whatever your custom is. But I would ask for everybody in the house to think about right now how much you intend to be involved in prayer this week. And so what I want you to do is consider that, and I want you to make a commitment right now. I want you to think about it, and I want you to just kind of talk to God right now and just tell him, this is what I intend, this is what I plan to do this week in prayer. Would you do that right now? Would you just say, mighty God, I love you, and I love talking to you, and I've been talking to you, and I love our talks together, but this week I'm going to press in, and I want you to think about a schedule of prayer for this week. Would you do that right now? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. To facilitate this, we'll have the church open every morning at 6. And again at 7 in the evening. And we're not a neighborhood church. We're spread out all over the city. And so you can come to the church if you like, but I don't feel that that is in any way necessary. Just have your, by the time you got here and got home, you would have a wonderful period of prayer at home or somewhere else. And so we'll do that for convenience sake, but don't misunderstand, it's not necessary. And so if you're not physically at the church, it's not a matter of condemnation or anything. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Now the fasting is something that we do to take charge, take control of our flesh. Jesus did it. Every major character in the scripture demonstrates that. And we understand that without prayer and fasting, some things are just not possible in the kingdom of God. And so fasting can be bread and water, like you would call it a Daniel fast, like in the book of Daniel, where he's fasting for 21 days and he's just not eating any sweet meat or drinking any wine. And I get the impression he's probably doing bread and water, which might sound like an easy trek, but 21 days of just a piece of bread is a pretty good little fast. And if you're extremely radicalized and you don't believe fasting is fasting unless it's just water, well, that's what you need to do if that's your conviction, that's your heart. But I would like everybody to participate wherein your health allows. So over the course of 5 days, you need to plan to set aside some time. Some of you may fast all day and then eat dinner with your family. Some may fast a day. And or maybe two. Some of you will do the entire 5 days and you'll only have water. And that's everybody brings their contribution and energy into the circle of our approach to God. And we are all strengthened by it. And it's all good. And so if you have a health situation that doesn't allow you that kind of activity, then just set aside some more time for prayer. And everybody should be on board at some level. Can you say amen? Praise God. So right now, I'd like for you to think about, now, I hate fasting. It's an unpleasant thing. It's not normal not to eat. I get up in the morning looking for my coffee cup and my whole wheat toast. It's not natural. In the middle of a week of fasting, you will feel like something's wrong. You'll come to church that Wednesday night and have a sense that something is wrong. Well, you'll be right. Something's wrong. You're starving. And but it's effective and it's powerful. And it always helps us to draw close to God. It is under the banner, the rubric of consecration, of drawing close to God. It is as God sees it in characters in the Bible, he'll say something like, "See how they humble themselves before me." And so that's part of humbling yourself before God, prayer and fasting. And we're setting aside the table, the plate, and we're saying, "I need God more than I need my daily bread." And it's effective and it's powerful. What I'd like for you to do is, in your own circle here right now, just take some time in prayer, and I want you to make a commitment about this week and what you're going to do in the way of fasting. If you don't plan and you don't commit, then a good portion of your intention will fall off. But if you make it a statement before God, then it becomes something really important in your relationship with him, and you're far more likely to complete the thing that you've said. So right now, if you take some time and just offer it up in prayer before God and let him know what you intend to do this week in the way of fasting, we're going to draw close to God. We're going to push away the plate. We're going to say, "God, we want to draw close to you, and we want to know your ways." Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Praise God. Well, don't look so sad. It's only a week. Yeah, that's right. So, and then Friday evening at 7 o'clock, we'll gather here, those of you who are able, we'll gather here and we'll have communion. And for the men, we'll have foot washing service. For the ladies, they're going to have a celebration service, an appreciation service. And it's always a dynamic time, wonderful time of fellowship in the things of God. And we'll press in by consecration to a new year. And we'll remember. The Lord said, "As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." And we'll take that communion and we'll remember and we'll talk about and we'll tell the story again. And we'll revisit what he did on the cross and how he purchased our souls and paid the price for our sins and how we didn't have any power at all. But he came down from the throne of glory and he robed himself in flesh and he gave himself as a sacrificial lamb for our salvation. Are you glad about what God has done and how much God loves you and what a wonderful sacrifice he's made for us? Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Let's clap our hands and lift up some praise unto God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, we've had a lot of church already. And it's been an interesting and somewhat unusual flow in the house tonight. And I'm not going to belabor this very much. I'm going to take just a few minutes, and I want us to move a little further in this first segment of Genesis chapter 1. Wednesday evening, we began with, in the beginning, God, making God the beginning of everything, making God the priority, making God that you are tethered to that affects every succeeding circle of life. God at the center of it all. God at the center, and then my relationship with my husband or my wife. God at the center, and that informs and empowers my relationship with my children. God at the center, and then I understand how to walk on the job or in a social setting and be the man or woman of God that God has called me to be. And I don't forget God, because God has to be at the beginning of everything, at the beginning of every day, every new enterprise, everything that I'm involved in. You can stop if you like. This is a hard job you have. It's hard to know what to do with the bald-headed preacher. You know, it's just, everybody say praise the Lord. And so God at the beginning of everything. And when you do that, you avoid what God warned Israel about. He said, don't forget the Lord your God. And it seems impossible that you would ever forget God. But Israel's story is a story of continual failure and backsliding. And the primary root of that is they forgot who they were and who God was. They forgot their God and began to wander after the God of the Canaanites or the gods of the Philistines. And they pursued those things. And so God in the beginning of everything, that's why you should pray in the morning. You should pray in the morning, because prayer should be, God is the beginning of this day. It's hard to pray at night and say, God, give me this day my daily bread. It's hard to pray at night and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm not telling you set aside 3 hours for prayer in the morning, but I'm telling you, bow your knee and get a hold of God first thing in the morning. The whole day will be better with God in the middle of it. Is there a witness in the house? God in the beginning. God in the middle of it all. God as the focal point of everything that we do. So that's where we started Wednesday evening. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and that's where we went this morning. After we opened that first passage, the very first movement there is the movement of the Spirit of God. And we say here in this theological setting, we say you must have a moving of the Spirit of God. It is essential to every good thing. It's not enough to have the Bible. It's not enough to have the Word of God. You can be a dead theological academic. You can be a dead intellectual, but you have to have a moving of the Spirit of God. And it was when the Spirit of God moved upon the dark and the formlessness and the void that things began to change and something began to take shape. And then there was a ground of being, and then there was light, and then there was atmosphere, and then there was life breaking forth. And at the end of that sequence and process, there was a man and a woman standing in a garden, walking with God, talking to God, becoming what God had called them to be. And that may be an ideal picture that you can hang on the wall of your mind, but I want you to know that's what God has for every one of us here tonight. God wants you to be in a place of His creation, a life-sustaining place, a place with a ground of being, a place where your potential is coming forth and you're actualizing what God has desired for you to be. There are people that live in little dead-end streets of their life and their ability, and they never do plumb the depth of what God has made available in their life. You don't want to live there. You don't want to live in some little backwater of fulfilled potential, but you want to know what God has purpose for your life. You really do want to bring forth what God has purposed for your life. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. Well, how far can you go? You don't know. And how great can it be? You can't tell. And what if nobody's ever done that before? Well, you may be the first one that says yes to God on that level. I'll just tell you a little Bible story. There's a little boy named David who was an adolescent, and he walked into an encampment that was fearful and unmoving and not responding to God. And there was something on the hillside that told them they couldn't go any further, and that they were going to be slaves of a domineering force. And this little guy said, no, there is a cause. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that stands against and challenges the armies of the living God? I want you to know, nobody else saw that potential. Nobody else thought that was possible. Goliath didn't think so. The devil didn't think so. The Philistines didn't think so. Saul didn't think so. And the people of God, his own brethren, didn't think he had it in him. But when you step out and you begin to actualize what God has called you to be, friend of mine, it'll blow the mind of everybody around you, yourself included, and everybody who sees you as a certain package, and they've prescribed it as a certain thing, boxed in and limited by the confines of the natural world. I just want you to know, with God, all things are possible. Somebody say that right now. With God, all things are possible. Now, do you believe that right now? With God, all things are possible. My God, there is no telling what you can be, what you can build, what you can become, how far you can go, how much influence you are able to have. Don't plug yourself into the circle of the house of the familiar, the place you came out of. Even if you came out of health and strength, understand that God never stops growing. And the things of God are immensely beyond what we're able to ask or think. Is God able to do that? Praise God. Nudge your neighbor so you can go farther. Tell him you can be greater. Tell him you can have more. You can see more. Is anybody hungry for more of God and more of what God has? Well, praise God. And so there's a moving of the Spirit of God. And then God speaks. And that's where we're going to go tonight for just a moment. And God said, everyone say, and God said. All right, this is the Word of God. The Word of God is God's manifestation in the natural. The Word of God, Jesus told them in John chapter 6, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are truth. And so the Word that they are life. The word that God speaks is spirit in nature, but it's the Spirit of God coming into the natural realm. And so the Christ is called the Word of God. The Bible, or the spoken word, is the Word of God. And it effectually moves into our lives, and it affects the changes that God desires for us, brings about. In this case, he says, let there be, and there was. Light comes, which is revelation and knowledge. And then the waters yield up a firm ground of being, and now there's a platform, a place to grow, a place to be, a place to produce what God has called. And then life begins to break forth. And you know the story here. And we use this template in Genesis chapter 1 in many, many areas of teaching. But this is so absolutely applicable to the life of a man or a woman that comes to God. And first, there is a moving of the Spirit of God, and then there is the Word of God, and after that, everything breaks up. And so here in the sequence of our attention tonight is the Word of God. I need a word from God. I need the established Word of God, the plan of God, the logos of God. I need the rhema. I need a fresh breathed Word of God. How many of you believe that what God has given us is the inerrant, infallible Word of God? I really do. I look at the prophecy and I don't understand how people don't just flock to the word of God, because it proves itself by many infallible proofs. But how many of you hear from God in the rhema sense, or God breathes into you and gives you information and gives you knowledge and gives you understanding and helps you know what to do? Anybody here hear from God? And that's a little different. It's not the word of God coming to you from the printed page or from your experience with the preacher or the teacher or whatever, but it's that Holy Ghost talking to you and leading you and guiding you into all truth. And so then there's a word of God that breaks forth in this Genesis story, and that's one of the premier and one of the primary things that has to happen. I have to have a word of God. Now, I'm honest with you tonight. I'm not going to take you very far, but I am going to take a detour here and just tell you this. We talked today about a moving of the Spirit and what worship does and how you get into a moving of the Spirit. You move into the portals of prayer and praise and worship and the Word of God, and God begins to move and outrageous things begin to happen. Demons have to leave and conquering armies are destroyed and people receive deliverance by the moving of the Spirit of God. One of the examples that we use this morning, and we use this in the stock Bible study, is an encounter that David and Samuel and Saul have at a place called Naoth at Ramah. And at Naoth at Ramah, Samuel, who was the prophet of his day, Samuel's an iconic character. He's the bridge work from the time of the judges to the time of the kings, and he's a prophet, and he's a judge, and he's the leader of Israel, and he is God's voice, and he has a crowd of men with him that is known as the school of prophets, and they are at a place called Naoth at Ramah, and they are prophesying. They're practicing. They are doing what is in the Old Testament, the counterpart of the New Testament, speaking in tongues. They are allowing the Spirit of God to flow through them, and they're practicing that. They're learning that. They're becoming oriented toward that. They're letting. When you have the Holy Ghost, you don't just get the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues and say, I got that done. You need to have a tongue-talking experience every day of your life. You need to have seasons of time where you're pressing into speaking in tongues and letting the Spirit of God, the water of the kingdom of God, flow through you and nourish you and give you life. Somebody say praise the Lord. So part of your everyday prayer should be a season of time where you're just talking in tongues. Paul said, I thank my God I talk in tongues more than all of you. And so that encourages me that that's a very important part of my prayer life. Now, at this place called Naoth at Ramah, Saul was trying to kill David. And he'd already tried to pierce him through with a lance there at the dining hall back at Saul's house. And David shagged out. He and Jonathan got together and they made an evacuation plan, and David fled. Now he wound up in the wilderness there with Samuel, which was a safe place to be. But somebody ratted him out, and Saul heard that David was down at Naoth at Ramah with Samuel. And so he sent a contingent of soldiers down there to get David and to arrest him. And you know the story, and we teach it, and it really proves the point. They're there prophesying, and when those soldiers who have a malevolent intent and they are not godly men and they're coming to arrest David, when they get into the atmosphere of the moving of the Spirit of God, they all fall out on the ground prophesying. It's the counterpart, or it's tantamount to somebody, a stranger walking in church tonight, and during your season of worship, they walk in and they are so overwhelmed by the presence of God, they just get the Holy Ghost without even trying. They get the Holy Ghost, they just get caught up in it. And we've had that happen on numerous occasions. And they don't know what they've got. They don't really understand. They just got caught up in it, which is a good thing. I'm glad it happened to them. I'm glad it got on them. I'm glad they came to the right party and didn't go to the wrong party, and other things happened to them. I'm glad they wandered in. But as these soldiers at Naoth, those that come in and receive the Holy Ghost, The soldiers at Naioth, when they got up and dusted themselves off, we don't get a continuation of that story, but when they walked away, we have no indication that they were changed. We have no indication that their lives were better. We don't have any indication that they began to live for God. Because you can come under the influence of the Spirit of God, and you can have a moving of the Spirit of God and be unchanged. You can be, he sent three contingents of soldiers. The same thing happened with each of them. They all fell out. They were all prophesying. It's like a group of people coming in intervals into the house tonight and receiving the Holy Ghost. And they don't know anything about it, but they got the Holy Ghost and they spoke in tongues and now they don't know what to do with it. It is exactly the same situation. Saul himself comes down to Naioth, and Saul says, if I can't get my soldiers to do it, I'll do it. But before he ever got there, the Bible said he was impacted by the presence of God, and he began to prophesy. The moral of that story in the first instance is that we can create an atmosphere in which people come into an experience with God and the Spirit of God, even if they are not prepared for it, even if they don't understand it. We can create a compelling atmosphere in the house of God, and that's something good. That's one of the reasons why we worship with all of our heart in the house of God. And that's why there's never a Wednesday or a Sunday off, and that's why we don't ever have a throwaway service. That's why, because we don't know when they're going to walk in and when they need to receive the Spirit of God. So every service is important, and every service is worship, and every service is praise, and every service is all that I have. I never want to come to church that I don't pour out everything that I have. Praise God. But beyond that, they were overwhelmed with the Spirit of God, but they were unchanged. The moving of the Spirit of God in isolation does not change you. The moving of the Spirit of God in isolation will not help you in the durative sense. Having a move of the Spirit and not having "and God said," having a move of the Spirit and not having the Word of God, will not bring you to the place. If God doesn't speak, the Spirit of God moves upon the deep, but it stays deep. The Spirit of God moves upon the dark, but it stays dark. It's not until the Word goes forth, until the lights come on. Revelation won't come to you just being in the presence of God. Revelation won't move in you. You won't start fulfilling potential and becoming. There will not be a ground of being, a fixed identity, a platform for emergence just in the presence of God. You have to have a place where God says, where God speaks, where the Word of God comes forth. Somebody say amen. So I've got to have the Word of God. And at this juncture, I would tell you, just in talking to a gentleman this week, very distraught about the condition of people that he knows, he used the example of a young person in the street. Young people in the street that are dying. They're dying in sin. They're dying from violence. They're dying like Brother Tenarius talked about at 15, finding a friend or seeing someone shot down in the streets. And they're out there in the dark, and they are in their youth, and they are unformed, and they are void, and they are empty, and they're just like that pre-creative world in Genesis 1, and they need a moving of the Spirit of God. But they need more than that, because that young man might well have been in church on Sunday morning. He might well have had a church service where the choir sang and the Spirit of God moved, but he went right back out into the street and stepped off into eternity. The moving of the Spirit is essential. I don't diminish it. I don't minimize it. But I'll tell you this, without being in tandem with the Word of God, nothing that God has purposed for you will come forth. Nothing. And the world's hue and cry today, I don't want doctrine. I don't want rules. I don't want legislation. I'm not under the law anymore. We're in grace. And that means to them, it doesn't matter what you do. You haven't read the Word of God. There's the perfect law of liberty in the New Testament. There's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus in the New Testament. And we could sit here for a couple of hours and I could give you rules and regulations about lifestyle and behavior and attitude and a multitude of things from the New Testament. Don't tell me there's not a law in the New Testament. What you mean to say is, I don't want any encumbrances. I want to go where I want. I am free in the Spirit. Friend of mine, you need a defining experience in the Word of God. Those soldiers at Naioth had a move of the Spirit, but they were not redefined. You won't be redefined. You'll be an Egyptian that is familiar with the Spirit of God. You know what that young man that got killed in the street needs? That man needs a moving of the Spirit, but he needs the Word of God. You know what that church needs? That family, that home that he came out of needs? That home that is void, that home that is dark, that home that is empty, that home that is not fulfilling the will of God. It needs God to speak into that home. You know what that church needs? That family came out of and that young man came out of? That preacher, that church, they need a baptism in the Word of God. They need to be reassociated with the Word of God. They need to be reacquainted with what thus saith the Word of God. Somebody say amen. So this is not, at this point, it's more exciting to have a shout service and to sing about, I'm going to get my blessing. If I shout high enough, if I jump high enough, if I run fast enough, and I love all those things. I want us to do all those things. But you're not going to get your blessing because you do that. Right. You're going to get your blessing because you're in covenant with God and you are obedient to the Word of God. Now, you know me. I read Scripture for everything I talk about. Just don't have the time tonight. We're going to do this again and we're going to delve down into it. But what that young man dying in the street, what that young lady dying in the street needs is a redefinition. You don't get that from a moving of the Spirit. You get that from an encounter with the Word of God. What that home that produced him needs is a redefinition found only in the Word of God. What that preacher and that pulpit and that church family needs is a redefinition by the power of the Word of God. And I'm going to stop right here. So now you can come play again. Where are you going to play? That's a hard job. How many are familiar with Paul's letter to the Corinthians where he says, and you'll finish this for me, the weapons of our warfare are not, but they are through to the pulling down of strongholds. And then in the next verse, he explains what strongholds are. He talks about tearing down knowledge, thoughts, and imaginations. Knowledge, thoughts, and imaginations. Your knowledge base is what you think is true. It comes from your house. It comes from your daddy and your mama and your school and your friends and your community. Like, if your framing is certain ethnic groups of people are bad, you walk as an adult with that thought in your head. That's your knowledge base. And you look for it and you project it on those people. And if you look hard enough and you project hard enough, you'll find evidence that it's true. And you look to be affirmed in those things. And it rubs you the wrong way when contrary information comes. But to live for God, Jesus said, you've got to hate your mama and your daddy and your brothers and your sister. Yeah, he did. Read Luke 14 and 15. He said, and even your own life, you've got to reject the house of the familiar. It is exactly the story of God saying, Abraham, you're going to have a baby. And he's just can't get it. He can't see it. They are old. He's frustrated with God. He's mad at God. He's asking God about it. And God says, come out here. And he takes him outside of his tent, brings him outside under God's tent, says, count the stars, Abe. See if you can count them. Look up, Abe. Look at my tent. It goes beyond your natural eyesight. It goes beyond your comprehension. He said, this is where I live. And Abraham believed God. You got to come out of your little confining, ruddy tent that you were raised in. Well, bless God, I was raised this way. My daddy's this way, and I'm going to be this way. Well, you may, but you may go to hell, too. And the saddest part of it is not going to hell. The saddest part is not fulfilling the potential that God has put in you, because you're living under the classification and the definition of a small little circle we call the house of the familiar. Come out of that. Come out of that. What does Paul mean when he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer up your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye, yeah, the baby's all like that, huh? Transformers. Be ye transformed by what? The what? The renewing of your mind. Well, how does that happen? How do you get your mind renewed? How do you get your mind renewed? Well, the strongholds in your mind are knowledge, thoughts, and imaginations. They've been there a long time, and they're seasoned, and they're embedded. And the only way to renew your mind is to jettison segments of that knowledge base and plug back in new knowledge. New knowledge. And in this case, the new knowledge is from the Word of God. You pull out racism and you plug in, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. You pull out, I'm a loser and I really can't achieve. And you plug in, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You pull out, God doesn't even know where I am, where I live. We didn't have his attention. I don't have his attention. I'm such a pitiful individual. And we plug back in, God, I can do all things. But then God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that works within you. He makes us more than conquerors. If God be for us, who can stand against us? There is no limit to what God can do. Pull it out. Put it on an altar. Reach into the eternal Word of God and find something better and plug it in, and you change your knowledge base. And as you change your knowledge base, you change your thought life, because now you're thinking better thoughts. And now you have a capacity for vision and for imagination. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now you can say, I think I see what you're saying. I think I hear what you want. I believe I can become what God has called me to become. Let's stand together tonight. Hallelujah. Let's lift every hand, lift every voice, lift every heart. Would you do that right now? The Spirit of God's moving in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may pray a prayer and say, change me, oh God. But God can't change you without you having an intimacy with the Word of God. If you've never had a home Bible study, you need that tonight. You need that. It will change your mind. It will change your thoughts. If you've never taught a home Bible study, you need to teach one. It will change your life in terms of evangelism. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. We're heading down into a new year. We're going to fast and pray this week. But I want this. I want to become more effective in the kingdom of God. I want to develop in the direction that God has purposed in my life. I want to be what God has called me to be. So I've got to find some way to change the equation. I've got to bring something into it. You can't keep doing what you've been doing and expect a different outcome. You got to start doing something different. Could we come down to the altar tonight? Could we come and just ask God to plant His word down in our hearts? God, Your word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. God, Your word is what changes me and shapes me and defines me. Your word is where I find identity. Your word is where I find what is true, what is of value, what is important. Your word identifies where I should go, how I should walk, and who I should be. God, I don't want the world to define me. I want Your kingdom to define me. I need Your word down in my heart at a new level. I want more of You, oh God. I want more of You, oh God. I need Your glory.
I want Your glory.
Praise God. Come on down. Come on close. Don't be afraid of this altar. If you're a guest here, come on down. Share in what God is doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Show me Your power.
Mighty God. Worthy God.
Less of me. Less of me.
Reach over, lay your hand on somebody, or take somebody by the hand. Do that. Hallelujah.
I realize that, oh,
mighty, mighty God.
Give me this love that is so many times I tried my way. But now, Lord, I realize that only You, Jesus,
love that is.
I need Your glory, Lord. I need You, Jesus.
Lord, let's clap our hands unto Him and bless His name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, my expectation is that the church will grow this year. Why is that my expectation? What? What does the Word of God say? There is no end to the increase of His government and peace. I believe you're going to grow this year. Maybe not physically. You may get taller. I believe the kingdom of God is going to grow in you this year. Praise God. Anybody facing any challenges as we round into a new year? Any challenges? Don't begin to project defeat. Don't embrace defeat before you ever start. I expect you to walk in victory in that. Why? Why? What does the Word of God say? Somebody say, I can do all things through Christ. Somebody say, nothing shall be impossible. That's the Word of God, don't you know? Praise God. What are you facing? What are you dealing with? There's a part of the Word of God that you can pull out and apply to that and say, this trumps every natural thing. This overshadows every hindering thing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I know that whatever's warring against you can't stand. Because I read where every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess to Jesus Christ and His name. I just believe it's going to be a victorious year and a year of increase and a year of power and a year of revival. I believe you're going to have revival in your home and in your family and in your ministry. Oh, let's give God a little praise for that right now. Let's magnify Him. Let's magnify Him. Hey! Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, God bless you. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord with you and be a part of the family of God. And we're looking forward to God doing wonderful things in 2018. So we'll have church as scheduled on Wednesday evening. We'll have a gathering for foot washing and communion on Friday evening at 7. Next weekend, Brother Ari Prado is with us. We're going to have another season of revival. And we're going to hit this thing in the month of January and see what God will do. Bring some empty vessels to the house of the Lord. God bless you.